You're in with Dolores Cahill on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Welcome to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And if you want to find what I'm up to, you can find me on ProfDoloresCahill.com and Custodian.com, C-U-S-T-O-D-E-A-N.com, and of course on Brand New Tube at Dolores Cahill. So my guests today are Dr. Kat Lindley from Texas in America and Mohammed Butt, the founder of BrandNewTube.com from England. So I think we were just before the break, we were talking about the importance of freedom of speech, and that, Kat, is particularly important now in the medical community.
It is, you know, for someone like me who actually grew up in communism where I could not say a lot of things and where we had to, you know, I could not say that we went to church because my dad could lose his job and things like that. In February of this year, our Department of Homeland Security decided that whoever speaks against the COVID narrative and the governmental agency would be considered a terrorist. So I actually went through a couple of days of grieving because of that, because I kept on thinking to myself, you know, I was born not free, and I'm going to die not free, and my children are going to grow up in a society not free. So we have to realize that freedom of speech is one of those, in I can never say that word. I speak five languages, and English is my fifth, and there's some words I cannot pronounce. But
inalienable rights. Inalienable. And the thing about lien was that it comes from lien, but alien means that they can never be taken away. So you know when people say they're taking away our rights or we're getting our rights back.
Exactly.
Inalienable means they can never be taken away.
I know, and it's such an important right, because if you cannot tell the truth, if you cannot speak your truth, then what do you have left? You really have nothing left if you just cannot speak what you think and what is right. You know, you and I might agree or not agree, but we both have a voice, and that voice needs to be heard. So I think it's one of those rights that we have to really fight for and stand very strong on, because our children's future depend on it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's actually fundamental to the informed consent and your inalienable right to life, right? They're all connected. It's very simple. If you have an inalienable right to life, then if you have bodily integrity, which means that in order for someone to do something to your body, you have to give consent. But in order to give consent, you have to have freedom to listen to information, as well as for someone to have freedom to speak it. So they're kind of all wrapped up in what's going on now.
It is, because informed consent, people don't realize we have not received informed consent for these experimental injections, because honestly, they do not know what is a long-term safety data. They don't know all the consequences. And I know, I believe in UK, they assume that if you came for the vaccine appointment, that you gave your consent to it. You haven't. You have not given up that right. You need to demand a physician and other healthcare workers to actually give you informed consent. And they need to go over it. And then you need to, if you want to sign it, you sign it. And yes, if you signed, you gave your permission that you listened to this informed consent. But I believe from the medical legal standpoint, this there. Weakest argument, informed consent has not been given and has not been obtained, and you need to fight that.
Yes, and I think that is the solution. So sadly, you know, as people, you know this has been going on for decades, if not hundreds of years, but the people, you know, the people that are behind this have engineered it. So it's actually the frontline workers hold all the liability, both financial, professional, you know, their insurance or their bond, but also if it's criminal and unlawful, which it is. So partly, I guess, what we're trying to do is that if the listeners themselves are aware, but if they have brothers and sisters or friends or family members who are injecting, it's actually the medical professional holds all the liability for the harm that that baby or that child or anyone may suffer for the rest of their lives under the law, because if they haven't given full and informed consent, that is a crime of misrepresentation and fraud and malfeasance, and they are liable.
You know, there's another thing on informed consent as well. And that is, if you want to understand, if the listeners want to understand the type of people we're dealing with, just imagine, okay, so it's informed consent, and we think to ourselves, well, as long as we don't conform, we don't, so we say we don't want this injection, that's fine. So what did they do? What did these individuals, these rascals do, in my opinion, these denigrate, these absolute vile individuals who are under the largest, you know, there's, you get some things that are under a rock. These individuals, they're under the biggest rock on the planet, and they're all scumbled under there. What did they do? This is what they did. They put people in a position where if you don't consent, you're going to lose your job. You're not going to be able to carry on sending your kids to school, college, university. You're not going to be able to put food on the table. You're going to lose everything. So then is that in any way, shape, or form not oppression of the highest level? But one day these people will be held to account. One day we'll be looking back at these same people who won't be able to hide, and we'll look back and we'll be saying, yeah, you are the people that created this so-called law to say, oh, we're not forcing people, we're not making it mandatory now. Actually, we've backtalked people. But you've still put people in a position where they'll lose their careers, their jobs. And some of these careers, the people have worked 30 years of their lives earning a substantial amount of money based on the fact that what they've committed and sacrificed for 20, 30 years. You're now telling these people, if you don't stay silent, if you don't go along with what we're saying, you lose all this. So how is that? Forget informed consent on the first level. The second level is being abused because they do this absolute disgraceful, despicable thing, whoever these decision makers are to do that. The other day, on a similar note, is I went into the hospital with one of my business partners. He went in for a small operation, or they didn't do it in the end. And we walked in, and I know we've seen these videos where the hospitals are empty, and you can, these people can argue X, Y, Z, this reason, that reason, COVID, this, that. Doris, I went in, I swear, we walked through, didn't wear a mask because we're not wearing masks. You know, we understand that. Nobody said anything, to be fair. Right, we got through various stages to the end where he went to the area where he was to wait. And at the desk, I'm not exaggerating, at least 20 people stood around talking. Three of them looked around at us and looked a bit panicky and came walking over really quickly. Oh, what's going on here? So he's my colleague is. He's basically coming to as an inpatient. All right, okay, well, you know, yeah, okay, fine. And another door opened to the right, and there's about 10, 15 people in there just chatting away. Now, that might have been a meeting cap going on, or some sort of a, you know, at the start of the morning, they get together, they do a brainstorm, this is what's happening. But generally speaking, in that short space, we had like 35, 40 staff stood around, the hospital beds pretty much empty. He wanted to lie down because he'd had some medication. And the nurse said to him, oh, you can't lie down. He said, why can't I lie down? She said, oh, because we might have an emergency. But there's 10 beds there, isn't it? Oh, no, sorry, you can't lie down. So what I'm saying is, you people listening to this, you doctors, nurses, scientists, whoever's still on the pay bill, and you need to wake up and realise, staying silent, watching all this happen to people like us, you're going to be on the wrong side of history. It will come back on you all. Stop doing it. Don't go along with this madness and stand up and say enough is enough. Listen, in my opinion, everybody in there, some of the looks on their faces, Dolores, Kat, honestly, it was embarrassing. They looked embarrassed because they saw us. We looked reasonably official. I don't need to say why we did, but we did. And they knew that we could see what was going on. They could tell by our language and our body language that we thought, this is disgusting what we can see with in front of our eyes. So this is going on now. That's one little experience I have, and I'm sure people listening are all thinking, yeah, we've seen it all. We've been there, done it. How many people have died from cancer, from operations not being delayed, from the basic things, people being afraid to go to hospital? So informed consent, yes, I completely understand. We stand by that. But don't be fooled by the other stage they're doing, which is basically vulnerable, the most vulnerable of us, are going to just die because we're not even being treated for what we should be getting treated for in the first place. Why? Because there's this disease, there's this illness that affects you similar to what flu accepts people. It's madness.
It's beyond madness because I actually read an article yesterday. A child, 6 months old, is being refused a heart transplant because the parents don't want to vaccinate the child. And, you know, that goes back to our oath. It goes back to our Hippocratic oath. You know, we have several points. First, do no harm. But one of them is we will never discriminate against anything, whether it's race, beliefs, whatever it is. But to refuse a heart transplant, a procedure that will save his life because he's not vaccinated, it's just a level of madness that I've never seen in my life. And you're right, it takes one person to say no, and then it spreads like a virus, but it does spread because you need one act of courage for people to realize I can do it too. You know, what I do, I'm doing, what Dolores and you are doing, it's not easy, but we know that we're doing the right thing. We're doing it for our kids, for our neighbors, for our friends. Someone has to do it, and it's right now it's us, but we need more people on our side because what we're saying makes sense. You know, you should not, this is COVID-19 illness. First of all, we never had pandemic, but even if we had a lot of cases when at the peak of this thing, it's gone. We're back to normal lives. We know what to do with it. When you get it, you get immunity. Probably 90% of the world already had it. Who even knows the percentage of the world that had it? Get on with your freaking life. Take charge of your life. Do not allow these governments around the world to dictate how you're going to live your life. And one thing that people have to realize, never in the history of the world have we had every single government do exactly the same thing. Now, whether you're a conspiracy theorist or not, you have to start asking yourself, how does that happen? How does it happen that Canada, France, US, UK, Ireland, Spain, South Africa, everyone knows exactly what to do and what to say, and they say exactly the same words? It's like watching a movie, right? Because only actors say exactly the same words, because not all of those same words apply to every country. So you have to realize that there is a whole lot of things going on, and it's time to push back and say, you know what? I gave you 2 years of my life, now I'm taking it back.
It's a false sense of security that these people have, of they feel they're not going to be accountable, Cap, Dolores. This is what my opinion is. They feel they're not accountable, they feel they get away with it. And when people give examples of wartime Germany and what happened to the Jewish people, and it's happened to Muslims and Christians all over the world, there's been things like this have happened, oppressed people, non-religious, but they've been oppressed. What happened? Why do they do it? They do it because they feel they're superior and they're unaccountable. Nobody can hold them to account. But what you will find in history, if you look back at history, one way or another, everybody is held to account. And if you're spiritual, if you're from a faith, a religious faith, I am, and others are, you know, many people are, many people, you are most definitely accountable when you leave this planet. Because we're not on here for more than 10, 15, 20, 40, 120 years. I don't know. Kat, Dolores, do you know anybody who's 120 years old today? So there is a limit to our time. So when we go, the ones that are spiritual, we feel we're accountable at every level, at the most severe level that accountability is. So what happens is this is false sense of security of, we're not accountable. We'll do as we please. We're going to live forever, and we're going to do whatever we want, and we are the elite people on this planet, and we deserve to decide what goes on. No, you may get away with it for a short period of time, but the inevitable thing is you lose, and you'll lose heavy, and you'll lose forever. That is the loss you face. Whereas the people that are fighting this, the people that are going to stand up, the people that are going to say, no, we're not going to allow you to harm that individual, no matter what religion, colour he is, we're not standing for that. We stand for what's right and wrong, and that's oppressive. Saving one life is like saving the entire human race. Killing one innocent person is like killing the whole entire human race. So when me personally, when I have that structure in my brain, there is no way you can persuade me to go along with that evil, devilish system that we're amongst right now.
Yeah, and I think that's really well said for both of you, because I suppose what people, ordinary people listening, they don't have to like speak out or go on radio shows or all they have to do is just not go along with it. So they just have to, you know, get on a bus and say, no, I'm not wearing a mask. Or if they're going to visit their doctor or the hospital, they just say, no, I don't consent to wearing a mask. So what I've been saying all along, it's kind of the easiest war to win in a way. All you have to do is not wear a mask, right? If everybody, so there are little, you know, stepping stones to tyranny that they have. And the agreeing to the testing and agreeing to wear a mask is how it works. Because if nobody wore a mask, they wouldn't be able to do the psychological operation that there is tyranny going on, right? And also the mask is for them so that people can't identify them, right? For the police and for the nurses. And it also gives them a psychological protection as if there's a barrier. You know, it's like they are doing it behind a mask that as if they're shielded and no one can identify them. So it's the simplest war in a way to win is to just not wear a mask and just say to people, you don't consent. So you're right. It is for, I suppose, we do need to enter the tipping point because we all know that this is going to go on the same mechanisms, whatever they call it, for the next 80 years. And I suppose what all of us here are doing is that we kind of have to really not give up and hold the line because it's not going to end.
There is another element of the audience, and we have to take that in account, and Kat touched on it, is if someone finds themselves listening to this thinking, yeah, but okay, I agree, there's so many scientists, doctors have come forward, they've exposed this, we know there's something going on, but what about this, what I walk up to, this illness, what about this, what I'm feeling that feels different to the flu? If I now speak about that, am I going against even the ones that are exposing this? And my answer to that, my personal experience, so we're not, I'm not here to prescribe medication or anything like this, is my opinion, what's happened to me, is I've had an illness that felt very different to flu. And I've had flu, and it was very severe. And it was, I struggled to breathe, I had chest pains, I had many things that are described, whether the virus exists or not, there's many doctors and scientists come forward with various evidences to argue this point. And that's, I leave that to the experts. What I'm speaking from my personal opinion. So what did I do? I really did feel that this was a very powerful illness that was coming on me. It was really, so I did take zinc and I did take hydroxychloroquine. I'm not telling everybody out there that I'm some sort of expert on these fields and go rush out. No, but what I will tell you is within 24 hours, it had cleared up. That's me personally. Within 3 days, I was completely back to normal. Now, that's never happened to me either. So something to me, my opinion's out there. And guess what? You can make your own mind up how it's out there. That's a different subject altogether. But something's been out there for some people. It's affected them. And there's many things that happened in Italy and other places, remember, where maybe, my opinion on this, maybe people weren't treated the way they should have been treated. And that's why they died in reality. And that mass level of death that took place was then the vehicle to push forward to the rest of the world, look at this. And at the end of the day, get people like you guys who are far more experienced and qualified than I'll ever be, okay, that's fine, have come forward with evidences and point blank explain this to us. So when I watch certain news channels and platforms talk about you guys being conspiracy theorists in the sense of in the negative form and that, oh, you have to ask a basic question. Why are all these doctors and scientists and people put their careers and everything on the line to come out with a lie, whereas the ones that are pushing the agenda are being paid very well and in comfortable surroundings, and they're not at risk in their mind as of losing anything. Are we going insane here? It's an obvious position a person would take, the one who's got everything to lose yet still puts it out there in the masses they are with evidence base. You have to take the stronger opinion. And the strong opinion, in my opinion, is that the evidence is with people like you, Dolores and Kat, and Vernon Coleman and everybody else. The evidence is there. You're not just speaking your mind and saying, nah, guess what, I've woke up today and decided this is all fake, this is all nonsense, this is all made up. No. You're backing it with evidence after evidence after evidence. And the strange thing is, I'm looking at this TNT logo, Dolores. Did you think about that? BNT, TNT? That's bizarre, isn't it?
Exactly. But maybe Kat might want to jump in. I think you raised a good point there, Mohammed. You were saying that people were breathless, which was unusual. Now, I experienced those symptoms as well around January of 2020. And I took vitamin D and I got better. But Kat, what do you think of his point?
Well, you know, when everything was happening, it was very scary because we were watching images on TV of people dying. And even from the medical standpoint, for some of us, and I think the reason we fought back is we were told if the patient calls and they seem to have symptoms of this illness and they're short of breath or something, well, just tell them, you know, stay home, take the medicine until you can breathe and go to the hospital, which never made sense. You know, from the medical standpoint, you're first line, you go in, you figure out what to do and how to do it, and then you do your job. So, yes, I am also one of those people who does believe that the illness itself was very real. It was very different from anything I've ever had. It was almost as if knew my weak points in my body and it went after those because, and my patients kind of had the same thing. Some of them would have other symptoms more than others, but it is, you know, this feeling you can't breathe, what do I do? It's very scary. And I think it fed into the overall fear. But I would say that most of us have had the illness. And with these variants, coronavirus is one of those very common viruses as it is. And we've experienced them in our life. And that's why kids actually do really well, because kids' immune system recognizes coronavirus. So their body was already primed for this. And they have less receptors in their nose than adults have of ACE2. So kids actually mount such a great response to this. And that's my point when it comes to children. Please stay away from the vaccine, from this experimental product that actually will harm them, because kids' bodies know what to do. But that's what fed into our fear, this illness and panic and watching people dying in a hospital. Did they die from COVID or with COVID? That's a question. Because like Dolores said, people would come in. The actual illness itself, the virus phase of the illness, only lasts 4 or 5 days. After that, you go into inflammatory process and you have to deal with the consequences of that. So I would say that the treatment in the hospital probably contributed to a lot of people not getting well and not leaving the hospital, because we do know that remdesivir that was given needs to be given extremely early for it to work. And the question is, even then, is it going to work? And the fact is still on the protocol, knowing that it shouldn't be. And then, you know, the scandal of midazolam in UK. So, you know, the question is, did they die from COVID or with COVID? And that's where the testing kind of came in. And in United States, at least, if you diagnose someone with COVID in the hospital, the reimbursement rate is a whole lot higher than if you don't. So there are so many questions with what's going on. But at this point, we had this around us for 2 years. Trust me, we all, without doing any testing, I would say that 95% of the population has antibodies to this. You have to have something, even if you didn't have a severe illness. And everyone knows that way out of pandemic is not to vaccinate. It's to actually get your immune system to do its job, because the immune system is superior to anything any product can put into us. And an interesting thing that happened after all this is people are not vaccinating for regular things now anymore either, because they're questioning this whole technology and the idea of vaccinating our cells through every single illness there is. And there is something to it, you know, the questioning now of everything that's been done to all of us.
I think the word COVID's become a buzzword as well, because I think there's some deep psychology involved, deep, deep psychology, because there's many that understand the scam that's taking place. There's many, but then they're affected by, in my opinion, another idea, and that is Kat's mentioning COVID. Dolores might mention COVID. He might mention COVID. There is no COVID. There is no disease. And this is my opinion again. But what I'm saying is, if it was called Lily, guess what? I've had a bit of Lily today when I woke up. We get ill. We do get ill. We do have something, and we have a cure for it, a medication, natural cure for it, a natural fruit for it, a natural plant for it. So the point is that I'd argue that, I keep saying this, there is something. When people say COVID, when people are being programmed to think, the moment someone says you've had COVID, that's it, look at that, they've gone with the narrative, X, Y, Z. This is what I feel. You're missing the point, in my opinion, that whatever you've had, whatever illness you've had and whatever you took to get better, the fact remains that there's an organization, there's a group of people that have taken that, used that to try and smash and grab and basically oppress 95% of the population. Now, if that sounds better to you people listening, take that and run with it. But don't, my advice is do not run off in the wrong direction when we're all racing in the same direction and someone runs off because somebody mentioned COVID or somebody mentioned virus or somebody mentioned. I think we start to fall into the trap that's been firmly laid in the spider's web by those greasy spiders that have done it and make them understand if you stand up to this tyranny and this evil, they shrivel up, these type of people. There is nothing anybody can do to you that once you leave this life, they can do anything else. Once we're gone, we're gone. Make the most of it while you're here. Stand your ground. Do not allow people to face what people faced decades ago and went and got slaughtered because people stayed silent.
Yeah, and I think that's very important because part of, you know, the solutions that we're all working to is to hold individual people accountable because, you know, in one head of a regulatory authority in one country could just say, like, you know, Frances Kelsey did in the CDC when she was reviewing the thalidomide, she took the decision that it wasn't safe in America as one regulator. She got a lot of pushback, but it wasn't approved in the United States, and they had no children that were harmed by thalidomide. So just one person can do it. So I think part of the solution is recognizing that if we strategically come together to do an analysis, and I've already done it, a landscape liability mapping, that we can then in each country hold individual key people that should have stopped it. And that's, I think, how we make focus on key people to hold them accountable. And then we can push back on what's going on, but also prevent them from doing it in the years and decades to come. But we're just going to now go quickly to an ad break. My guests today are Dr. Kat Lindley and Mohammed Butt, who is the founder of brandnewtube.com. And we'll just take a break on the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTradio.live.
Rick Mudd on TNT Radio.
The fallout that's now really beginning to become apparent are the injuries that simply cannot be hid. There's too many people coming forward now. And I believe it's, you know, it hasn't really started proper yet. It's just we're starting to see the beginnings of the cracks appearing in the walls and in the House of Cards, the first few of film. But when they fall, it will be a big House of Cards indeed.
More often than not, individuals who are suffering from vaccine-induced injuries are under some kind of spell where they do not put two and two together. They do not even believe it's the vaccine. The work of Dr. Burkhardt, who's a pathologist from Germany, he looked at 15 cases of death shortly after vaccination, but seven of them he found to be or probably related to the vaccine. He saw T cell infiltration of what should have been healthy tissue. So this is a fatal autoimmune attack. The body is attacking itself.
Rick Mann is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Wokeness is infiltrating churches, and people don't really know what's hitting them.
Critical race theory assumes that racism is everywhere, it is in everything. These ideologies have crept into the church.
I have grown up with this invisible kind of bag of privilege.
And I know, as a white pastor, I have blind spots.
Reparations fits into the scope of the gospel.
It's a racist worldview. You're swimming in racism.
The social justice warriors say, if you're white, you are racist. And if you say that you are not a racist, then you have to be a white supremacist.
I see within evangelicalism today an attack on the very gospel itself.
Social justice doesn't have to do with justice, it has to do with Marxism.
Wokeness is now the dominant academic paradigm on many university and college campuses.
Many of our Christian universities have fallen prey.
I went to an all-black school, raised in a black context. Everything was oppression. White people are racist, cops can't be trusted, and this world is not for us, it's against us. We felt like the government owed us. I have a family, I have children, and I don't have a job. I was just, it was at the darkest point in my life.
because I was white. Would we have to divorce and separate due to my skin color?
Christianity enables people to find forgiveness and redemption. However, Marxism is completely vindictive.
There is no redeemer and there is no redemption in the religion of anti-racism.
I believe that the evangelical church today is going to have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to the culture, or are we going to remain true to the faith and take the consequences?
How the left is stealing your church. The invasion of the gospel of woke at salemnow.com.
We were told that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history. Nope, not by a long shot.
Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to the Dolores Cahill Show on TNTRadio.live. And my guests today are Mohammed Butt, the founder of BrandNewTube.com, and also Dr. Kat Lindley from Texas. So, Kat, maybe if you just want to give a little introduction. I know the World Council for Health are focusing on this World Health Organization pandemic treaty, and maybe a little bit about it and what's the initiatives going on, including in the World Council for Health.
I think, you know, like I said before, it was very interesting to see how the governments decided to do this whole thing, build back better messaging from around the world. And then last year in the March of 21, 25 heads of the government and international agencies started calling for this new treaty that will protect the world from the future health crisis. They decided that it's time for the global community to do something together and, you know, make decisions on any type of future pandemics happening. So they met in January, they started negotiating in May. They had some amendments to international health regulations. But the underlying, the important thing to know is if this pandemic treaty is approved, which the timeline for it is really May of 23 to be voted on, it would allow Tedros, the director of WHO, to really take over the global response to any future pandemic. And if you go into the articles of their own constitution, they could decide how we do it. They can decide which tests to use, which products to use, and it will be kind of what has happened right now, but on more global level at the same time and dictated by WHO. And it's very important for people to realize that every country, we all have our own sovereignty, we have our own rights, but we also are very different. We all, you know, our lives are different, things that we do are different. And I can tell you that even in my state, the way you practice medicine in rural community is a little bit different than the way you do it in a big city. So the idea that one size fits all is going to come from this agency that is not elected by us, it's very scary. And, you know, I would say that COVID pandemic, we can all see that mandates, things are going, you know, quieter. I know they're still pushing for vaccines, but the overall mandating of things has changed a little bit. So then they tried with the monkeypox. They tried to bring this, you know, new issue with monkeypox around the world. And interestingly, I kind of laugh because our CDC a few weeks ago came up with a saying, we are level 2 of monkeypox and we need to start wearing a mask. So we actually pushed back on that. I was talking to a friend of mine, Dr. Urso, and I said to him, well, maybe we should tell them that maybe we should wear condoms and not masks. So we actually went on Twitter and this whole medical community pushed back. And we said, well, if you say, because they say it's a sexually transmitted disease. So we said, well, if you're saying it's sexually transmitted disease, why would we wear a mask? But I think they're going to try. And then like in sewage of London, I think there is polio.
They found so polio, yes.
Yes. I think they're trying these little things because they're trying to actually accelerate the pandemic treaty. That's my opinion. The vote for it is supposed to be in May. They're negotiating. They have some, you know, some things they already wrote. But I think they're trying these new things to accelerate it because it would be the best thing for them if this global organization decided how we're going to live our lives from this point on, and we can't let it happen.
So it's all about control. And just to jump in, fire ahead, Mohammed, but just to say as well, what we can do, though, is just say, well, can you give us an isolate of the monkeypox? And if you don't mind, we will, you know, just look to see if the PCR testing for polio is actually accurate and specific for polio. But go ahead, Mohammed.
And that's the importance of having people like you in the ranks, Dolores Cahill, Professor Dolores Cahill and Dr. Kat Lundy, because what you do is you disarm these crooked criminals and their so-called experts, in my opinion, who are just crooked experts. You disarm them by saying, hold on a minute, Mohammed isn't the one who's requiring this, the soft furnishings guy. We are requiring it with our 30 years experience in these fields. And Kat mentioned the World Council for Health, which I think you're involved with, and Dr. Tess Laura. That video's on Brand YouTube and other platforms well regarding, I think it was a letter to Dr. Andrew Hill. I mean, when you watch something like that, it really, if that doesn't shake the very ground that you're stood on, make you almost fall out the very chair. I'm sorry, I'm bringing the dramatic side of it into it, because it is insane. It's insane. People listening, you can say this. It's insane. We're not mad people. We're not psychotic. The psychos are the people pushing this agenda, in my opinion. They're the psychopaths. And some, like we've said, I believe, are compromised. Some, a small amount, Kat, Professor Dolores, I don't know whether you'll agree with this or not, a small amount may actually be convinced by thinking, oh, no, this is we've been living in this pond or this well for so long at the bottom of this well, and we don't know anything better what's on the outside of the world. But in my opinion, the majority know. They're keeping hold of their salaries. They're pushing the agenda. They're going with it. And probably most of them aren't even taking the poisonous jab that everybody else is being given, or a portion of what's being given. So I think, you know, organisations like Dr. Tesla, what she's involved with, she's a co-founder of it, and Dr. Kat Lindley's involved with it, and Professor Dolores Cahill and Vernon Coleman, and many other people are involved in these things. It's vital that they show us a way forward regarding the biological and the medical side evidence base, which you have. Otherwise, we'd be completely screwed in this argument, because they would just label you extremist conspiracy theorists, like people have been talking about the New World Order and cults and things like that for 30 years and been demonized for it. But you guys are from a medical background with 20, 30, 40 years experience in this. So what do? They label you guys. But when they start labeling you guys like this, it really does start to fall apart. That's my opinion on it. It completely, the web starts to break apart.
Yeah, one of the good things about the World Council for Health is you have physicians, scientists, legal minds, health experts, everyone from different fields coming together from all over the world, and bringing our knowledge together at the same table and having discussions and coming with these ideas and statements that make sense. We are really just trying to return sanity back to science and humility to science, and also returning some honesty back to humanity, because our goal is to truly create, I know it's kind of like cliche, but it is to create a better way, because there is a better way. We need to return power back to the people. Everyone has to realize you have to live in your own truth. You have to honor your life. You have to take care of your family, of your community. And the way we do that is together. It's truly time for everyone around the world to say no to this nonsense. Like I said, we gave them 2 years of our lives. We gave them our trust. I would say that the trust has been broken with everything that's happened. And now it's time for people to say, you know, enough of this nonsense. We need to do what's best for us and for our family and for our future and for our community. And we need to just, honestly, it's as simple as that. Just say no. I know people and the other thing you, when I say that, but it's true. Just say no.
Well, the other thing you're doing as well, Kat, and people like you and Deloitte, you're making sense of things like the Pfizer dump. Now, if we don't have people to make sense of things like that, it makes it very difficult. So another thing where you're disarming these vile, grotesque individuals, some of these grotesque individuals who are pushing certain agendas, is they're giving the people, the communities of this world, excuse, look at this, and they're dumping it in there. And then what you guys do is say, hold on a second, let's take this apart, let's explain this in detail. And when it starts being explained, it becomes literally someone with an axe ready to chop your head off. And we're sat there thinking, oh, right, we didn't realise that's what they were doing. And they wanted to hold that back for 75 years, was it? Why would you want to hold something like that back for 75 years?
Yeah, 75 years. And Naomi Watts has actually been doing great work. She has a team of volunteers, you know, because there are thousands of people around the world who want to do things. And actually, Naomi Watts and her team have actually done systematic analysis of volunteers of the Pfizer documents that were forced to be released. Yeah, but they did want to keep them secret for 75 years.
The strong characteristics, I'll give you two characteristics of my own experience, and that is firstly how I came about Brand New Tube, which was a year or so before I founded Brand New Tube. My mother was in hospital, she was 81 years old, and in my opinion, she was basically murdered in West Sussex in a hospital. 81 years old, they basically just gave her midazolam, poisoned her, and killed her. Sore out. And it broke my heart.
Mohammed. That's shocking.
I know, Dolores, some people like you and others have gone through this, and I understand you understand this more than most people would. And imagine that. So they put do not resuscitate. And I was arguing and fighting they shouldn't do that, and they didn't do it. And then when I got on the motorway, driving down the motorway, they'd done it. She was suffocated. She was dying. She was out of breath, and they let her go. Now, that really hurt me. After that, a year or so after this nonsense started, what I mean nonsense is not that there's no illness, but the nonsense that surrounded it and that people took advantage of it. And then suddenly I was being told doctors and nurses and scientists are being censored on YouTube and things like that. And it struck me, I was thinking, no, look what happened to my mother, DNR, do not resuscitate, things like that. Why are they doing that? And I just at that moment, I decided I'm going to open a platform. That was it. I'm going to start a platform. Let's see if people want to come onto that platform and do these things. Dolores, Kat, I can tell you now, when I started this platform with the great partners that I've got, Adil, Masood, Mike, Asad, Wasim, Sam, all these great, one of the first things I did was bring Sonia Poulton and a chap called Sean Atwood, and that's a different story, the Sean Atwood bit. But Sonia Poulton, 30 years journalism, I'm sure you guys know who she is.
She's great,
I brought her on board. I never praise myself, Kat. I'm not one for praising myself. I do tend to pick on the good ones. And she came on board, and then suddenly there was attacks launched on the platform to take it down, literally. All out war to bring Brand New Tube down. Vernon Coleman came on board, and he was doing some mind-blowing videos, and then suddenly we're being threatened by the server providers that we're going to lose it unless we remove Vernon. I said, see you later, we're going somewhere else, and kept Vernon, a good choice. But the similar things with Sonia Poulton. There was threats made against me, people threatening to attack me, my businesses, my whole system, my unless I remove it, and I refuse to remove it. And 2 years on, that woman has literally gone out there, program after program. What we've got now is Rise with BNT, with just an amazing group of people coming on the live chat, things like that. Sean Ward's joined as the co-host every Monday. And Kat, what's happened is the more people have pushed us to remove us and to fight against us, the more we've pushed back. And the more big, high, influential people have come on board, big powerhouse businessmen are behind the scenes coming on board, and more are saying, why is this happening? Why are these people coming out so aggressively? What are we doing right that frightens these people. And we're going to do much, much more going forward. We're going to expose things that people would never imagine is going on out there. But number one priority on this planet is this smash and grab of oppressing 95, 97% of the people. And I'm grateful, 100% grateful, firstly to God, the Almighty, secondly to people like you from all faith, religion, race, colour, coming together and saying, we are going to take these people on and they will lose. My opinion, take it how you want. I can tell you now, I am 100% certain, God willing, these people will be defeated. And those that will need to be held accountable will be held accountable. We'll have the legal people behind us, the professional medical people like yourselves behind us. You'll be able to dissect every single criminal act they've done, and they'll have nowhere to go and only themselves to blame.
I agree. First thing I want to say, I love Sonia and Sean. I go on their show a lot, and I followed that Mugate as well. That was an interesting thing.
Yeah, that's a sign of the power we wield when we shut them people down with that Mugate.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. But that's exactly what we need. We need people to come on board. You know, we need people to see that I wouldn't even say we are a minority. I really don't think we're a minority. We are really, we are voices that are telling the truth. And when you're staying on the right side of history, it will show, the time will show it. And if you really remember your history, you will see that every oppressive government, every oppressive regime has always lost because the power of human soul wins at the end. It might take us some time, but I am also a firm believer that we will win this.
And I think it's important that more and more documentaries, more and more videos are coming out. You mentioned the James Wells one regarding the vaccine damage and things like that. Look, you know, again, there's that division, an attempt to create division where people say, oh, well, these people took the jab, that, you know, to a level, you know, what do you want us to do? They were warned about it. No, but look, no one takes something thinking, I'm going to take this jab and I know I'm going to die, or I'm going to fall ill, or I'm going to get crippled. Nobody's, so take that portion out of your heart and think to yourself, no, they're a fellow human being. They've made a mistake. They've done something even though people are warning against it. But surely they've become a bigger ally for us now, a huge ally in the sense of the truth, and say, tell us how it's affected you now. So more and more of us learn not to take experimental poison.
Yeah, so we've had on the show a number of shows about people who have taken the injection and have adverse events, but Aga Wilson from Sweden has launched a really successful worldwide campaign for Can We Talk About It? And it's hashtag Can We Talk About It? And, you know, it's so sad that the people who took the injection, probably because they didn't hear the information that it was unnecessary and there was harm, are now being kind of shamed and isolated in each of their countries around the world. And also they've been censored, you know, further censored. So they now are often really unwell, that they can't, you know, continue on in their profession, or they can't look after themselves or their children. They are being censored. And a lot of the medical profession is ignoring them or saying that they have psychological issues. And when there may be in the really good doctors may have protocols, or together we may develop protocols that will reduce the symptoms of their adverse events. So of course, you know, that we would wish that they would never have taken it in the first place, but I'm very honored, and in the World Doctors Alliance, the World Freedom Alliance, and everyone around the world are supporting this Can We Talk About It, to try and first of all, acknowledge that they have suffered adverse events, and then to try and recover their health as much as possible.
I think because there's Dolores... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I posted a story that was published on Epoch Times by Dr. Mercola about all these athletes, and the Olympic agency came up with a stat of how many have suffered sudden collapse, 769, I believe. I actually, if there is anyone listening out there, and you are, we live in a really weird world, but people that have platforms, these athletes and, you know, actors and musicians, they listen to you a lot more than they listen to me. So I actually have an appeal. I have a request from my heart. You cannot make more money than you already have. And when you die, what are you going to do with that money? So my appeal to you is look in your heart, take courage, realize that your voice means a lot. And hearing from someone like these athletes or actors or musicians who are in limelight and had a vaccine and now they had life affected, I urge you and I really truly beg you, come out, talk, find someone. You can email me, you can email Dolores, you can email Mohammed. We will give you a platform. It's going to be hard. You're going to get attacked, but you're going to feel so much better about your life and what you've done in your life, because there is not enough money in the world that you need. You really, we need you, because young people listen to you. They don't listen to me. They think I'm crazy. And this is an appeal from my heart. Please have courage and come out and talk about it, because you're suffering and we're there to help.
Now, that's wonderful. And maybe just to say, we've created an email as well, connect@custodian.com. And if people want to connect, they can email. I will be answering those emails. So it's connect@custodian.com. And Kat, so if any, people who have a platform, or I think as well, it's an opportunity for business people, because I think there is a huge, the business of freedom, that if people should be taking the protocols like vitamin D under medical supervision, that obviously we need people to manufacture them to make sure they're of very high quality. So I think I would love to support that plea. And if people want to contact me, they can contact at connect@custodian.com. So we just have a couple of minutes left. So Mohammed, if you want to make your final observations and then also how people can contact you.
Okay, just a couple of quick ones. John Bo, Sean Ward, people like Matt Letizia. Matt Letizia, fantastic footballer, reminds me of my good self when I used to play football. But they've come forward. Recently, Dancing on Ice Dude, was it? He did a video. More and more of these people need to show why it's important to come forward. And lastly, Dolores, just to give you an example of the respect I have for you, I appreciate everything you're doing. I'll give you an exclusive. One example, for example, we're in negotiations with taking over a legal firm, which has criminal, defamation, civil, all these things. So we're in negotiations to purchase this. And there's other solicitors that have contacted us who want to join as partners. And they're all basically awake to this agenda. And there's other things that I can't go to. That's one exclusive I'm giving Dolores Cahill on her radio show on TNT Radio.
Wonderful. Live. Right? That's wonderful. That, well done. Thank you.
I can tell you from my point of view and all those supporting me is we are coming for you.
No, that's wonderful. Because as you know, Mohammed, there are whatever 7 summonses and allegedly 1 warrant out for my arrest. And with a team of people, I am presenting myself. But we still have many months. And of course, I would love to be doing other things like building and working with like people like Kat for the new health system. But I think part of what we need to do is exactly what you're doing, is to push back. But also, I think on the journalists who are often defaming us and also they're preventing and treatment and the real message that's about right. adverse events out. So that's wonderful, Mohammed. And Kat,
these people have come forward, Dolores. These people have come forward, and this group of legal brains have come forward. And I'll let Kat finish on that, but the point is exactly that there needs to be a new addition to this war chest to tackle this oppression.
Wonderful.
All I have to say is it takes one person to make a change. So be that person. Start in your own community, build relationships. And there are many of us out there that will welcome you and help you in any way we can. So join us.
Great. And Kat, if you do want to just give the World Council for Health and your own email and things for people to contact you. And then Mohammed, I'll come back to you as well, just for the details about Brand New Tube.
So you can find me on my website, which is katlindleydo.com. And my World Council for Health email is Katarina, KATARINA, at the WC4H.org.
Excellent. And Muhammad, if you can just maybe just how to find you on Brand New Tube as well before we go.
Well, I'll hide if everybody tries to contact me, but the email address is just getting absolutely bombarded as well. Just go to the website, www.brandnewtube.com. Everybody's on there. Go to the showcase, look at all the videos, get the information down yourself. You can contact us on that website.
That's great. Thank you so much, Muhammad. And then for everyone, thank you for listening. And if you want to get in touch with me, the email now is connect@custodian.com, custodian.com. And thank you, everyone, for listening to The Dolores Cahill Show on TNT Radio.live.